Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Ajanta Pharma Q2 FY 2023 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Yogesh Agrawal, Managing Director of Ajanta Pharma Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening and welcome to all of you. With me, I have Mr. Rajesh Agrawal, Joint Managing Director, Mr. Arvind Agrawal, our CFO, Mr. Rajeev Agrawal, Head of Finance and Investor Relations. I'm really glad to inform you that the Board of Directors have approved an interim dividend of rupees 7 per equity share, that is 350% of the face value of rupees 2 each. I'm also truly delighted to share with you that Ajanta Pharma has been awarded the Best Managed Company for the year 2020 by Deloitte. This validates our Ajanta's journey towards excellence in people and various other things. Coming to the results, they are already with you, and I'm happy to share with you that we have been able to achieve the continued growth in revenue. I will take you through the business-wise performance for the Q2 and H1 FY 2023, along with the comparison of the previous year, same period. Let's begin with the emerging market branded generic business. I'll first start with Asia. During the Q2, sale was rupees 251 crore against rupees 191 crore, posting a very healthy growth of 31%. In H1, sale was rupees 492 crore against rupees 357 crore, again posting a very healthy growth of 38%. The growth appears a bit elevated due to the low base of Q2 and H1 FY 2022. Let's move to Africa. During the Q2, sale was rupees 146 crore against rupees 159 crore, posting a degrowth of 8%. And in H1, sale was rupees 314 crore against rupees 284 crore, posting 10% growth. The growth in this market was impacted due to the INR appreciation against euro from the previous year, which has adversely impacted about 7. Branded generic business of Asia and Africa contributed 43% to the total revenue during the H1. Our exports to these markets were rupees 397 crores against rupees 350 crores, posting a double-digit growth of 13% in Q2, and rupees 805 crores against rupees 641 crores, a growth of 26% in H1. We continue to post superior growth as compared to the market on the back of identifying opportunities and executing it clinically. We launched 16 new products during H1 in both the territories. Let me now move to US generic business. US generic business contributed 19% to the total revenue. In Q1, sale was rupees 185 crores against rupees 194 crores, posting the growth of 5%. In H1, sale was rupees 64 crores against rupees 362 crores, posting 1% growth. Despite continued price erosion and absence of new product launches, we still to maintain the same level of the business as previous year. We continue to have 39 products on the shelf. In the first half of the year, we filed 3 ANDA and also received 1 final and 1 tentative approval. At the end of September 2022, we have 21 ANDAs awaiting approval with US FDA. We are looking to file 10 to 10, 12 ANDAs during the year. Let me now move to African institution business. This contributed 6% to the total revenue. In Q2, sale was rupees 33 crores against rupees 66 crores, posting 50% degrowth. In H1, sale was 110 crores, 110 crores against 120 crores, posting 8% degrowth. As we have been mentioning in our earlier calls also, The institution business remains unpredictable and depending on the procurement agencies, funds and the requirement by the various donor countries. With this, now I hand over to Mr. Rajesh Agrawal, Joint Managing Director, who will take you through India business. Thank you and over to you, Rajesh.
Thank you. Good evening to all of you. Let me discuss some of the key highlights of India business with you now. India business contributed 32% in total revenue in first half FY 2023. In Q2 FY 2023, sales stood at 314 crores against 248 crores, posting a healthy growth of 27%. And in H1 FY 2023, sales stood at 593 crores against rupees 477 crores, posting a healthy growth of 24%. This includes sales from trade generics of rupees 38 crores against rupees 30 crores in Q2 and rupees 71 crores against 57 crores in H1 of FY 2023. We have launched 15 new products in H1 FY22 and 3 of them have been first to market. Our performance has been satisfactory, which was on the back of new product launches, market share gain and price increase. As per IQVIA MAT September 2023, we have posted healthy growth in all the therapeutic segments and exceeded industry growth across therapies. We have 3 of our brands appearing in top 500 in the IPM. As per IQVIA, we have improved 2 ranks and now rank 27th in September 2022 from being 29th rank in March 2022. With this, I will now hand over to Arvind Agrawal, CFO, to take you through the financial performance. Thank you and over to you, Arvind.
Thank you very much. Good evening to all of you and warm welcome to this earnings call. For ease of discussion, look at the consolidated financials and provide year-on-year comparisons. Let me take you through key financial highlights for Q and H1 FY 2023. In Q2 FY 2023, total revenue stood at 938 crores against rupees 885 crores, posting 6 growth. In H1, total revenue stood at 1889 crores against rupees 1633 crores, posting growth of 16%. The breakup of revenue has already been discussed by MD and JMD. Q2 FY23 saw material cost at 28%. And H1 was at 29%. This is little higher to our estimates on account of continued high level of raw and packing material costs, continued US price erosion, INR appreciation against Euro, and going forward, we estimate COGS to remain at around 27%. In other expenses, we saw significant rise in the export freight costs. Pre-COVID, our trade costs have been around 10% to sales, which got escalated to 9%, translating to rupees 38 crore adverse impact for the H1 FY 2023. This expense beyond our control has adversely impacted the profitability to that extent. Even in this particular quarter, there were some expenses which got free to the next quarter as well. R&D expenses was rupees 59 crores against rupees 49 crores for the quarter, and for the half year it was 113 against 94 crores. R&D expenses stood at 6% of revenue, which will continue at this level. EBITDA in quarter 2 was at 196 crores against rupees 263 crores last year. For the H1, it was at rupees 418 crores against 483 crores, 20% revenue. EBITDA was lower mainly due to higher material and logistic costs as informed above. Going forward, we expect around 26% plus minus 1% going forward. Other income stood at rupees 73 crores in H1 mainly contributed by foreign rupees 61 crores. Income tax stood at 23% for Q2 and 22% for H1. We expect it to reach the same level during FY 2023. Tax in Q2 was at rupees 157 crores against 196 crores, 17% of revenue, and for H1 it was 331 crores against 370 crores, 18% revenue. We incurred capex of rupees 63 crores in H1. Capex, including maintenance capex for the FY 2023, is estimated now at rupees 150 crores. We have improved in inventory holding period to 73 days from 88 days in March 2022, while receivables remained at same level of 115 days and payable at 76 days against 70 days in March 2022. With these highlights, I open the floor for the discussion and question and answer. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Tushar Manudhane from Motilal Oswal Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. So just a clarification on the freight cost, particularly for 2Q, how much was the impact?
Almost about 24 crores.
Okay, so that is what quarter on quarter largely, that is what explains the increase in other expenses.
Exactly. Plus also, as I mentioned earlier, there is also some preponement of expenses which has happened in the quarter. So, afterwards, in the next quarter, it will be little less.
If you could also share the mix of air shipments and air transport and water transport in terms of raw materials as well as finished goods.
I don't have that number readily with me, but one thing which I can definitely say is that air transport is very less, and there the freight cost has softened to some extent. But sea freight has not really softened, so that's where the impact is.
And just lastly, on the end of filing, given that we have filed 3, so that's the kind of bunched up considering the target of 10-15 filing. Or this can get pushed to FY 2024?
That is something which is very difficult to say now, but we are trying our level best to complete that 10 to 12 filings in this year itself.
There will be some filing which will get queued towards the end of the year. So our aim is to achieve the target.
Okay. And just lastly, any further development on general strategy?
Sorry.
Pardon me?
Generic Chantix, any further development?
No, Chantix, I don't have any significant update to tell you. It is still a work in progress.
Okay, that's it from me. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rashmi Sancheti from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity and good evening everyone. One question on Africa branded. You mentioned that the growth was impacted due to the INR appreciation against Euro, correct?
That's right.
Okay, so in CC terms, what kind of growth have you seen in the business?
For the current quarter, in constant currency, it was flattish. So pretty much that 7-8% degrowth which we have seen. That was purely on account of rupee appreciation against the dollar.
Against euro. Okay. So how should we see this Africa branded business for the entire year, and why there is a flattish growth in the market?
Africa for the whole year, I think I would say that we should grow in the high single digits for the whole year. I think as you as already shared with you, because of the, if you add in the constant currency, it would be higher, because the 4% is also considering the rupee appreciation again. So this rupee appreciation is purely external factor beyond our control, which has adversely impacted. Had that was not there, the growth would have been even higher.
So high single digit growth, you are talking in INR terms, right?
Yeah, and in INR terms for the whole year.
Okay. And in terms of Asia, you know, we are continuously seeing extraordinary growth from last quarter. So how should we see in the second half, you know, this kind of growth would continue, and therefore for FY23, the growth would be much higher versus the guidance of mid-teens growth? And even for India, if you can guide.
So I think really Asia has been very well for us this year, and as you have seen last quarter also we did pretty nice. This quarter also the performance was quite good, very encouraging. So for the whole year, we are looking to post a growth of 20% and above for the Asia.
Okay. And India, sir?
For India, given that we have had two very strong quarters, we are now confident of posting high teens as against mid-teens, what earlier guidance we had given. So we are quite confident of going for high teens growth.
Okay. And finally, on the expenses, if you could give, like, you know, what is the price duration currently in the US market? Any particular guidance, you know, which you can give that, you know, this year US would be majorly in the declining phase, or, you know, it would remain flattish, or probably we will have some good launches in the second half. If you can guide on that. And on the expenses side, you know, we are seeing that the raw material cost has come off sequentially. So quarter on quarter, any softening of the KSM prices or anything which you have noticed? And even on the freight cost, you know, after September, how are you seeing the trend, whether it is coming down or it is still high and it is going to keep on impacting even in the H2? And your overall EBITDA margin guidance, you know, for the year?
Okay, I think this was a very loaded question with a lot of subsections, but let's take one by one. So first, you said about the US business. US business, we are looking at one or maximum two launches during the year, whatever approval we've got. Based on that, we are looking at a full year to be high single digit growth, which will be able to be posted in the US. Despite, I think the CFO will take on the cost and part, but even though we are going to post a high single digit growth for the US, because of the price erosion, the margins have shrunk, so that will impact our, that will already impacted effect already you've seen in the Q1, Q2 in the cost as well as in the EBITDA. Second, on the freight front, so some freights they have softened, but that was purely for the regular containers for some markets. And when you add other costs of the freight which are there, so overall when you add and some of the products which we said, they are in the refer container, so they have not softened so significantly. So we have seen some softening of the freight around 5-7%. Let's hope that this continues and it further softens. So that's on the freight. I think on the expenses and EBITDA, CFO will.
Yeah. So in terms of the COG which you were talking about, that, you know, it has softened from Q1 to Q2. In Q1, you know that there was a impact of some inventory write-off which was there. So practically we are almost at the same level currently. But going forward, we are expecting some benefits certainly, you know, in the material cost COG, because of softening as also the business mix. The product mix will change to some extent positively, because of which we should get some benefit there. In terms of other expenses, as I mentioned earlier also, that some expenses got preponed, so certainly some expenses will be a little lower as compared to what we have incurred in this year. Overall, as I mentioned in my discussion, that the EBITDA guidance which we are talking about is about 26% plus minus 1%. So that is the estimate which we have for the EBITDA guidance for the whole year.
So, thanks. That's it from my side.
Yeah. Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Kunal Randeria from Nuvama Institutional Equity. Please go ahead.
Good evening and thanks for giving me the opportunity. Firstly for you, on the US front, I think that suggests that FDA is approving therapy and has on a monthly basis.
Your voice is fluctuating a little bit.
Is it better?
Yes, better now.
If I look at the data from the FDA, around 65 to 70 ANDAs are being approved on a monthly basis. But since you haven't got any approval, and you know this monthly approval rate from the FDA is almost at pre-COVID level, so just wondering, what's exactly the reason for not getting those approvals?
Yeah, good question. So, a lot of ANDAs we had filed from our Dahej facility. And for a number of NDAs, I think 4 to 5 NDAs, FDA had told us that the review process was at advanced stage, but they had put that the FDA, the facility inspection was a requirement for approving this NDA. Dahej has undergone the US FDA inspection last few months back. We had 483 observations, which were of a routine nature, which we have responded. We believe the EIR should follow in the normal course of a few months. So that clearly paves the way for the approval from all the NDAs which we have filed from the Dahej. And after the EIR is received, we are expecting a flurry of approvals that should come through. So that was, to answer your question, the holdup was primarily FDA's requirement for the FDA inspection of the Dahej facility. Now since that is behind us, we are expecting approvals to come through.
Sure. Thanks for that. Second question is on the India business. In the last 3 or 4 quarters, you have demonstrated industry-leading growth. So, while I understand your guidance and all, I just want to understand, what's the reason that you have been so consistent in India?
Primarily, if you look at the segment-wise growth, dermatology has been doing exceptionally well for us. That is contributing to the growth percentages. We are growing multifold compared to the industry growth rate. Pain management also we are growing robustly. So that also is adding to the growth. And so it is in cardiovascular.
Sorry to cut you off, sir, but I should have got that data in the press release. I just want to understand the reason. Have you taken higher than average price increase, or there is substantially new products are contributing a lot more? What exactly is driving this growth?
Price increases are as expected, or maybe as guided by NLEM and also as per the NCCA guidelines, correct? So, our price increases may be slightly more than the industry, and the volume growth is what is driving our growth. So industry has regrown in volume by minus 1%, whereas we have grown by 4% in volume. So which is the best thing to happen, which shows the inherent strength of the brands that we have built. Does that answer your question?
But just to push you further, you have grown volume to 4% and this has grown high growth to 6-7%. In the remaining 6-7% would be coming from new products.
New products is at par with the industry, which is contributing around 2-3% for us.
Okay, fine. Make that offline. Last question for Arindhi.
Arindhi, you said, Kunal, your voice is breaking up again.
Sure, I hope this is better.
Yes, Kunal.
Yes. Arvindji, if I heard you correctly, you mentioned that the freight cost is around 9% of revenue. Is that correct?
Yeah, you are right. For the export, huh?
9% of the export revenue.
Yes.
Okay. So what would it be for the total revenue?
No, this is for the export revenue, and export revenue earlier it used to be 6%, now it is 9%, so almost about 3% increase on the export revenue.
Okay, but sir, the reason I'm asking this is because on a year-on-year basis, while I understand exports would have gone up, some freight elements would have come down, right? Like container costs or something. So why such a sharp increase? You know, I've not been able to completely understand. Or is it because your air shipments are substantially higher? You're not able to completely understand.
No, Kunal, it is primarily because of the global factor, which is affecting not only Ajanta, everyone. The container costs have gone 3x to 4x, the sea cost, sea shipment cost. So we've seen for the US as high as 4x of what it used to be at the pre-COVID level. So now that has started to soften a little. So that's why from everything Arvindya said, from 6%, pretty much 50% rise has happened, from 6 to 9% it went up. So primarily it's external factors, which hopefully it starts to soften and come down. So there is no element of the air going up or anything like that. Those kind of components are, I think, in line with what was there in the past as well.
Okay. Got it. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Priya Harwani from Perpetuity Ventures. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good evening. Am I audible?
Yeah, you're audible. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, hi. So I just wanted the clarification on the CapEx number you mentioned for this quarter as well as the guidance for full year.
Yeah. So it was, it is for the first half, it is 63 crores. And for the whole year, we are talking about 150 crores.
150 crores. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abdul Qadir Puranwala from Elara Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So just one clarification on the EBITDA guidance. So this guidance of plus minus 26% is for the second half or for the full year of FY23?
Second half.
Okay. And sir, on the sequential basis, if I see your other expenses,
yeah,
so there has been a rise of almost like 25 crores. Out of which 10 crores, as explained, would be the freight cost.
Yeah.
Would it be fair to assume that the balance 15 crore, a large part of it, would be the preponement of expenses?
To some extent, you can say. About 10 crores, you can say.
1%. Almost 1%. Alright, got it. And so, just one final one on this INR appreciation against the euro, which impacted your Africa sales.
Yeah.
Would there be some amount of forex losses which would be sitting in your P&L for Q2?
Yes, about 6 crores of rupees is there in the P&L, which is there in other expenses also.
Got it, sir. That's it for my end. Thank you. And wish you all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bino Pati Parambil from InCred Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Most of my questions have been one follow-up on Chantix. So if I remember correctly, earlier you had said that there were some FDA queries which you were in the process of responding. So have you responded? And if not, when do you plan to respond?
No, we have responded. So it is a work in progress from FDA, so based on that they have asked for some additional data. So we are in the process of furnishing that to the FDA now.
Okay. Got it. Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nikhil Mathur from SGFC Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good evening. So my questions are more on the margin side. If I look at the mix this particular quarter, your India plus branded Asia sales is almost 60% of total revenue, and then you have clocked in a gross margin of around 72%. If I look at pre-COVID, let's say FY20, when the mix of these two markets combined was more 55%, the company was doing almost 75% gross margin. Can it be safe to assume that this entire 3 percentage points hit, or the RM hit is more than that, more than 3 percentage points, because your mix has improved, but your gross margin number was 3 percentage points, so the RM hit could be around 4.5% points, and at the right we're looking at the RM hit?
I think what we need to understand is multiple factors. See, one is the cost has gone up. Now that is something which is across. So even for the
global inflation for the raw
materials. Exactly. Global inflation for the raw materials. So everywhere it has increased. So this is something which is normal. Apart from that, certainly the product mix also has got some impact on that. As the product mix will improve, I think that should give us.
So I think as the CFO said, there are three components. One is the raw material prices going up on account of global inflation. Second is the euro adversely impacting. That has further increased the
price erosion.
And third is the price erosion. So all three impacted our the cost, which is what is reflected here. So all these things, I think what is important to see is that the health of the business is that are our brands growing, are we increasing our market share. These are the factors which are going to be there. They will be now, they will soften up and they'll improve. So I think the overall approach is that we are able to gain the market share, we are able to grow the brand. That's I think the key health indicator of the organization.
Right. I'm not fully clear, sir, but if I may just try to understand this better. Are you also trying to imply that while the raw material costs have hit across business segments, perhaps the margins that were in India were also in branded Asia, they are also under pressure, and because you are in pursuit of growth both in India and branded Asia, they might not go back to historical high gross margins, whatever they were. Obviously, we don't have exact numbers there, but qualitatively, we are at a margin level which is much lower than what it was pre-COVID, and as you say, more growth in the next 2-3 years, the margin reversal in those markets might not happen to that extent?
I think to some extent, like what we said, the inflation of the global inflation which is there in the RMPM cost, that is going to be there. So that is something which definitely will be there. But we are talking about 26% as the COG which should be there for the going forward. That is what we are expecting to.
Sure, sir. As in India, in terms of growth in 2023-24-25, what are your expectations from new product launches? I mean, I believe Ajanta in the last few years has been higher than industry average of 2-2.5 percentage points. I think more in the range of 3.5-4%. Is that the budget for next 2-3 years as well for new products in terms of growth?
Our expectation would be in line with the industry growth from the new products. So our contribution also, even if you look at the first half, is at par with the industry, which is 2% growth. I expect that to be the same going forward.
Got it, sir. Another question on the logistics side, again, sorry to harp on that. There have been multiple questions on that. I'm just trying to understand, when we look at various data points, including the Baltic Index and whatever we hear from some certain other industry experts and companies as well, there seems to be a pretty sharp softening of logistics costs. Actually, the spot prices have gone down. So is it that your contracts on the logistics side are more, you would have entered in the more near term, that's why your pricing on the logistics front is higher than the spot, and that's why a bit more benign margin commentary from your end for second half? So would that be a right here? Why is there a disconnect between your guidance and what the prices are looking like?
So to summarize your question, you are saying that freight cost, what is there in the press or otherwise has gone down, we have not gone down corresponding. Is that your question?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So there are two things. One is that the freight cost, let's say for example, for the US, it has gone down for the regular containers, which are not cold chain. But we export our products into the cold chain containers. So for that, the prices have not gone down to that extent. We have seen 7-8% price reduction in the refer containers. Whereas for the regular containers, the price drop has been quite significant. So this is common to all. Any company who is going to export the product in the refer container, they are seeing this kind of price reduction. And non-refer containers, the price reduction has been slightly better. Other markets, the prices have reduced, but not to the level pre-COVID level. So there is some fluctuations which is happening. We'll see how it stabilizes in the coming next half of the year.
Okay.
Does that answer your question?
Yes, I think that helps a lot. And one final question on the US market. The commentary from various industry experts has been pretty guarded for some quarters now, including yours as well. I think last couple of quarters, if I remember correctly, you have also been sounded a bit cautious in the US market. Any evidence that changes that outlook for the market, or it continues to be as big as it was in last quarter or a few quarters back as well?
Yeah, so nothing changes. It remains the same what we've been talking for the last few quarters. We continue to be cautious and trade very carefully and navigate the challenges as they come. So there is nothing further to add than what others have guided in the industry as well.
Got it, sir. Thank you so much, sir, for my end.
Sure.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kushal Sawadia from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello. So the domestic business has been doing quite well in the past few quarters. So I have just one question with regards to that. So what has been the contribution of the institutional business of the whole domestic business?
For the first half, it is about 70 odd crores.
Yeah.
73 crores.
Yes, 71 crores.
71 crores to be precise.
71% of the contribution in FY22. FY22, 8 months. Sorry.
I will share the number. Sorry.
No, but that was only first half. No, he was full year.
Okay. Well, yeah, FY22 was 100 crores, 99 crores to be precise.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Tushar Manadhani, Motilal Oswal Financial Services. Please go ahead. Tushar, your line has been unmuted. Please go ahead. As there is no response, we'll move to the next question from the line of Harsh Bedia, professional investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yeah, you are audible.
Hi, congrats for the great set of execution and the branded business in India and Asia. My question is about one of the recent product approvals, which is Vimovo. I think Ajinta got it a month back or something. When do you plan to launch this product, and how is the market currently in this product in the US?
We are gearing up for the launch. Maybe it will get pushed out to the Q4. The product has declined significantly from what it used to be when we had filed the NDA. So let us see. We will try to do our best to garner whatever market share we can. So it will be launched in Q4.
Okay. One question I have about your trade genetics business in India. What was the sales in this quarter?
This quarter, trade genetics, 38 crores.
Huh?
38 crores.
And what was this number in the last quarter or in FY22, so quarter to FY22?
Q2 FY20
30 crores.
30 crores.
So from 30 it has gone to 38, and for first half from 57 it has gone up to 71.
Okay. So one thing which is very clear in the trade generic numbers is Ajanta is doing quite well. Now I think this year you'll end up with close to 140-150 crores. Can you throw some more light on this business?
So we are operating just the way as industry operates. Yes, we are doing exceptionally well, and it is primarily a pharmacy or a chemist push
business. It's all branded generics. And so that's how we've been operating, and our team has been very, very active in identifying new product opportunities and also exploring markets which are untapped by some of the other competitors, which is giving us the growth.
And once we have some kind of a pull for a given product, do we also plan to migrate it towards branded generics? So migrating products which already showing traction in the trade generics to branded generics?
So usually, I have not seen that from trade generic a brand would come into prescription generic, branded generic as such. So we don't intend to do that. But you're right, if there is some kind of pull that gets created, some kind of market that's created, especially for any chronic nature of product, then there is an auto demand that happens. Then it's better for the organization as such, because the influence or the control of the chemist reduces to that extent for that brand.
Okay. My last question is on the US price erosion. What was the price erosion in our base portfolio for this quarter?
We have seen double digit growth, early growth, price erosion.
This would be early double digit or mid double digit?
Yeah, mid double digit.
Okay. Thanks. That's it from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anisha Mahavra from Envision Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, so good evening. Thank you for taking my question. A couple of clarifications. One, the EBITDA margin guidance has been given for H2 of 26%. Is this including other income?
No, EBITDA margin doesn't contain other income. It is excluding other income.
Okay. No, in the presentation, the EBITDA was including, hence I thought of the clarification. So, the other thing,
I think there is it is not including other income.
Okay, got it. And in our US market, earlier we were talking about 4 to 5 launches in the current year, and now we're talking about 1 or 2 launches. The reason for the relatively lower launches than earlier anticipated?
So, as I had explained earlier, that is purely related with the approval of the ANDA. And the ANDA approval got linked with the facility inspection. Now, since the direct facility inspection has occurred with a very routine type of 2-4-ADC observation, we are expecting the EIR to come in next few months. And after that, this will pave the way for the approval of the product, ANDA product. And as they get approved, then we will bring them to the market. So it was purely the approval regulatory process. We are just awaiting that to be completed.
Okay. And we mentioned that margins in this quarter were impacted because of higher freight and some cost preponement. What is cost preponement? What could this be pertaining to?
Some of the product registration, R&D, and also some of the promotion expenses.
Okay. Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nitin Gosar from BOI Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Two questions. I wanted to understand the stand on US generics business, keeping in mind it has been constantly seen price erosion, especially for the portfolio that you tell, the price erosion has been pretty harsh. The incremental investment that we are doing for R&D, how are we trying to secure the future growth prospect and the profitability in US entities?
So, we are very careful in the product selection, and we are putting a lot of filters to identify and see the product, which we try to do the modeling and forecast and see that what kind of competition it will have and what kind of margins we will be able to get. So earlier the aspiration was to find much higher products, but then we have curtailed that ambition and we've dropped number of products to make sure that we do our best in product selection. I think we are trying our best to see how we can maintain and increase our market share in the market right in the front end there.
Okay. And should it keep in mind that until we don't see new launches, this trajectory of price erosion or the profit pool of US generics will continue to remain muted?
So I think without the new launches, the current Q numbers which we have seen, we expect that to remain. Maybe there will be minor variations here and there, depending on the quarter performance. But this is the base which we believe is there. And based on that, the new product approval, that we should be able to add on this base going forward.
And could you comment on the US profit pool? How are we in terms of break-even post R&D?
We do not give the numbers the category-wise. So I think I have some limitation in sharing that kind of information.
Yeah, I understand. But if you could acknowledge whether we are breaking even post R&D?
I'm sorry, I will not be able to comment much.
Okay, no worries. And one last bit on APA business. Again, trying to understand here. In past, we have tried not to aggressively hedge ourselves on currency part, but this time it has not worked in our favor. Going forward, how are we approaching the currency hedging part? And the kind of currency volatility that we have seen, does it forces us to look for price increase in both territories to compensate for the margin erosion that we see?
So we are not looking at the price erosion, price increases there. There are some limitations that they are regulated and controlled, the price approval. And it's difficult to get a price increase there. So more or less, the best we can do is hedge the currency, which we are doing. And rest, I think we have to just see once this Russia-Ukraine war settles, and hopefully then that kind of the Europe bounces back, probably. I think that is a factor which is beyond our control.
Okay. Okay. That was helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Tushar Manudhane from Motilal Oswal Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Thanks for the follow-up. Sir, just on Asia business, first half has been phenomenal. And compared to that, we are still riding for a lower number for a full year of FY23. And given that second half FY22, any mistake was caught. So, any particular comment on this?
I think if you remember, Asia business last year in the Q4 was the highest, you know. So because of that, I think that will not be sustainable. So to that extent, I think we are expecting that to get corrected, and because of which the overall guidance is about, you know, 20% plus.
And any foreign trading other in for the quarter?
Pardon me?
So other income has been higher at about 40 crores. So any foreign gain?
Yeah, I think maximum is foreign gain only. As I mentioned in my talk, I think it was 63 crores for the whole half year is forex gain. And that is what is basically the hedging which we have done. That has benefited. So it has not gone in the top line, but it has come into the other income.
Okay. Just how much was it in the Q2?
Pardon me?
Sir, how much was it in Q2 in particular?
Q2 mein kitna tha? Half year में 63 crores है, इसके in difference other income. Q2 में कितना था? 39 crores is Q2 out of 63.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Naushad Singh from Aditya Birla Sun Life AMC. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. Couple of clarifications. Firstly, on the free cash flow, sir, if I look at in next couple of years, 2-3 years, we are generating very strong free cash flow. Plus,
yeah,
we have a decent cash on the balance sheet as well. So how are we planning to utilize this? Any thought on the acquisition piece?
As far as acquisition is concerned, I think we are continuously looking for it. But unfortunately, we have still not got a suitable candidate for the acquisition. but we keep on looking for it. And we are open for acquisition at every time, and we are looking at every opportunity which is coming to the market, certainly. Only the thing is that, but unless it happens, you really don't know. So as far as free cash flows are concerned, you have seen in the past 2 years, so board has to decide how they want to deal with it, but we have been repaying to the shareholders consistently. Like last year, we have given almost about 450 crores back to the shareholders.
All right. Secondly, in terms of our percentage of billing in dollar terms, would you be able to share what percentage of our revenue billing we do in terms of dollars?
Majority is dollar. Only one small portion is in euro, which is the...
Okay.
Exactly. Africa is euro, but unless everything is in dollar.
Okay. And lastly, just again, I'm touching on the margin side. Just a clarification, sir. Based on your guidance, if I see your revenue mix towards India and emerging markets has improved, and it will improve going forward as well. But your margin guidance has been flat. So the reason of this could be to either your US business is in your US business is eating a lot of cash, or the profitability of the India and emerging market has gone down versus past. So what could be the specific reasons, sir?
As we have mentioned, it's a combination of the all the three things. We have mentioned that the US aggressive price erosion has adversely impacted our cost and correspondingly EBITDA. Then second was the appreciation of rupees against the euro. So that has also impacted our Africa part, and that also got baked in into the cost. So, and the third was the price increase which we have seen across the raw materials. COVID situation. So that was the third. And the fourth is the expenses, which is the freight going up. So these are the four big buckets, which is not unique to Ajanta. That is, I think, impacting any and every pharma company which is there. So this is what combination of what has resulted into the little bit the reduction in the cost and impacted the EBITDA as well.
Alright, so if we leave US business aside, once things improve in terms of your logistics and raw material side, should we assume that the profitability of the India and emerging market should come back to the normalized level, or there is no structural changes in terms of the margin profile of those businesses?
Honestly, there is no structural changes, absolutely no structural changes. We are still talking about 26% COG for the H2, which is quite good according to me. If you remove the US, definitely it will be at the same level what it used to be earlier.
Right.
Yes.
Perfect, sir. Thank you so much. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bejat Debu from Systematics. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yeah, you are audible.
I just want to clarify on the EBITDA margin. So earlier you had guided somewhere around 25-27% for the full year, and now we are expecting around that for second half. So for FY23, you would be lowering your FY23 guidance, right? By a few basis points.
You are right.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Suresh Agarwal, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Sir, what is our plant utilization, like capacity utilization at present?
We should be around 60-65%.
And if you are planning to go to other geographies for the utilization of our this plant to 100%?
No, we have sufficient capacity to take care of our growth requirement for the current
time. If you are planning to go to other geographies, like which we have not already entered actually,
There are a few countries which are work in progress, but there is nothing significant which will happen. I think our focus is to remain in the existing markets and grow them, expand them more. So I think that is where the focus is.
Okay, thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mitesh Shah from Nirmal Bang. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question. I just have a question on the your branded market, emerging markets. So, are you adding the MRs over there? So, that is already added or you are still adding over there?
We have already added quite a bit, and there will be small additions which may happen in the second half also.
Okay, so the advantage of the improvement in the MR productivity will be coming from the next year on, right?
Oh, yes. Positively.
So, I think from next year onward, what would be the drivers for the margin improvement? Because this year definitely is a blip because of the freight charges, raw material, cost and everything. What would be the drivers and how much good are you can expect the margins from next year onward? It's like historical 30% plus margin can be achieved in next 2 years.
I think it's very uncertain. What we are looking at is that the H2, the cost should be around 26%. And the EBITDA margin we have guided at 26% plus minus 1%. Any improvement from here onwards on various parameters which we have said will further improve it only. If the freight comes down, it will get added into the margin. Raw material prices soften, that will get added into the margin. So these are the factors which are beyond the control, and I think we have to negotiate those challenges as they come. But as I can say, yeah, so that's the answer I think to your question.
So whatever you in your control, like operational leverage and such kind of other mix change, would be expected to be improved 100-150 with margins next year or couple of years? Is it possible?
That possibility is always there, as you said, if the productivity we are trying to expand from the existing people. So to that extent, correspondingly, the sales will go up, but the expenses will not go up to that extent because the people are not getting added. So, of course, all those possibilities are there where the margins can get expanded for various efficiencies.
I think in the emerging branded market, also you have increased marketing spend as well, right? This year. Or you will be. So,
yes,
then
yes.
Also will be coming down in next year, right? That would be the possibility for the improvement in margin.
Yeah, that is there, and as you said, the effect of this expansion in the people addition of the field will start to be seen from the next year onwards. So, combination of both, hopefully we should be able to be in a better situation.
Got it. And the R&D cost would be at around 6%, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's right.
Got it. That's it from my end. Thank you.
Thank you. We request participants to please limit your questions to one per participant. The next question is from the line of Madhav Varta from Fidelity International. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good evening. Thank you so much for your time. I just wanted to understand on the US business, are we seeing Ajanta or competitors beginning to withdraw products from the market because of profitability being so weak?
Yeah, we've seen some players talking about exiting some products which are very hyper competitive. So, but that has been the case in the past also. If there are 8 players, if 2 players get dropped off, it really doesn't shake up the market so much either way, positively or negatively.
So, US business's competition is going to remain this high. Structurally, how do we see this? Profit profile of this part of the market improving next 2-3 years if competition is here to stay and many people have spare capacity to supply. Is there any thought process that we have in terms of how profits improve here, not just for us but for the industry as well?
No, we have to negotiate the challenges as we get there. The thing is that the whole thing I think precipitated because of the two factors. One is the price erosion was significantly higher than the historical level. And second, there were no new approvals. Otherwise, what happens is if 8-10% price erosion is there and you're launching the new product and from there you're able to drive, let's say, 20-30% growth. So net-net you come out positive of 20%, 15%, 20%. So combination of, as you can say, it's a perfect storm which happened last year. Both happened, and that is why we see a very, very significant adversely impacted business for the US market for the whole company. Now, as the base gets reset to the margins, what the new prices which we have seen, and as the new product approval comes through, that should be able to, I think, tackle the current situation, and we should be able to grow on that business and expand the margins there.
Thank you. Participants, if you have any further questions, we would request you to please email your questions. Due to time constraints, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Yogesh Agarwal for closing comments.
Thank you everyone for joining today. And if there are any other questions which got left answered, please feel free to reach out for any other questions. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. On behalf of Ajanta Pharma, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.